Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Open them up to the book of Jonah. Jonah. Hosea. Minor prophets. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. So the fifth minor prophet. I'll just tell you about something. I'm having Jessica take my sermon notes and put them on a disc, and so I'm able to print them off anytime that I want to review what I preached. And if anybody would like a copy of my notes, and my notes, I might just bring one set so you can see what my notes are. They're not complete sentences, but you can get the drift of what I'm saying. Most of the time, I have more than one word. And of course, she's going back in time, and it's funny. She can't hardly read my handwriting, and she'll show me my notes and says, "Well, what's this word?" And I'll look at it and look at it and look at it, and I say, "I have no idea what it is. Can't figure it out." So, Gene, I might have to get with you. I know you take good notes, and we'll have to. Okay. All right, now we're going to read several verses from different parts in Jonah. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me, please, as we honor the Word of God, and I'll direct you where to go, so just follow along. We're going to start in chapter 1, the first four verses. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." Then in that same chapter, look at verse 15. So they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then verse 17, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Now chapter 2, verse 1, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." Then verse 10 of chapter 2, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Then chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." Then verse 5, "So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them." And then verse 10, the last verse that we'll read in chapter 3, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." And let's pray together. Father, thank you for letting us be here tonight. I believe we're here by divine appointment. I believe you have something for every single person here. And so I pray in the next few minutes you'd help us pay attention with our hearts and our minds, and we get what you've prepared for us tonight. If there's anybody here that's not for sure that they're saved, doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray tonight that you'd speak to them in a special way, show them the price that was paid for their salvation. Speak to us that are Christians. Use the life of Jonah as an example to us about our obedience to you. Just bless the rest of the service, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I mentioned this morning that I had two different sermons all prepared for today. And I think, Clint, you and Wanda were gone, so I'll just tell you, I was driving to soul-winning visitation yesterday, and I was listening to Brother Wendell's CD. And the last song that I heard was Love Lifted Me before I got out. And those words kept going over my mind, and God said, okay, that's what you're going to preach tomorrow morning. Of course, I said, well, I already got a message. And God said, no, this is your message. And so, in about 5 minutes yesterday, both of my messages were changed. That was the song that led to this morning's message. And then when I came in the building yesterday, there were some ladies in the nursery, but Bill was back here working. He's really dressing up this room. If you haven't peeked at it, it's still in progress, but it already looks a lot better than it did But he was working. I came in to say hello to him, and we chatted just for just a couple minutes. And then he asked me the question. He said, "You going out visiting?" I said, "Yep, going out visiting." He says, "Okay, you go out and get them, and I'll make the church beautiful for them to come to." And I said the words, "That sounds like a plan." And I tell you what, almost immediately when I said that, God said, "Okay, that's what I want you to preach tomorrow night." Of course, I said, "I've already got a message for tomorrow night." He said, "No, that's the message you're going to preach tomorrow night." Almost makes me want to wait till Saturday night to prepare my messages so I don't waste any time. But I'm sure he'll let me preach those other two sometime. But tonight, I'm going to preach on the subject, God has a plan. God has a plan. And I'm going to use the book of Jonah tonight. I want to make 5 points. 5 points as we talk about that subject. God has a plan. Of course, the book of Jonah, as most of you know, is probably one of the most maligned books in all the Bible. More people express doubt about the historical fact of the book of Jonah than they do any other book in the Bible. In fact, there's many people who says, "Well, it's not a real true story. It's like an allegory. It's something that somebody just made up to make a point." And I disagree with people that say that. I think there was an actual man named Jonah. I know there was an actual city named Nineveh. And I think there was an actual fish that swallowed Jonah. And I think God put the book of Jonah in the Bible for a purpose. I mean, I think he had somebody write it. I guess I don't know if Jonah actually wrote it or not. I guess he could have. Maybe he did. It was named after him. And it's in our Bible today, and God has a reason for it being in our Bible today. Some people look at it and say, "Well, it's a biography," and it certainly is. It's a biography of a prophet named Jonah. And if you were going to sum up the biography of the preacher, the prophet named Jonah, you might say it like this. He was running from God, then he went running to God, then he went running with God, then he went running for God, then in chapter 4 he went running at God. And so it is a biography of a prophet named Jonah. Some say it's a history book, and it certainly is. I mean, it does tell the story of that man, that city, that fish. But first and foremost, the book of Jonah is a message from God. And by the way, that's what all the Bible is. This book is a message from God. In this book, he tells us things that he wants us to know. He tells us about the Savior. He tells us about salvation. He tells us how to live our Christian life. And I believe that everything that's in this book, God has there for a purpose and for a reason, and it's for our good. I mean, I was reading in the book of Chronicles, as I read my way through the Bible in the book of February, and I got over there into the first 10 chapters and all those begats, and I think God has them there for a reason. They're there for a purpose. A lot of times I read them and I say, "Boy, I'm not getting anything out of this." But they're there. God put them there. He must have a reason for them. And maybe one of these days when I get to meet all those guys, I say, "Oh yeah, you're the son of such and such, and you're the son of such and such." But he's got a reason for everything he puts in the Bible. He's got a reason for the book of Jonah. So I want to try to look at least one of the messages that I think you can get out of the book of Jonah. And I want to make 5 points tonight as we do that. So here we go. Number one, God has a plan. God has a plan. We read in this book that Nineveh was a great city. It was a big city. If you go over to chapter 4, if you still have your Bibles there, verse 11, here's what it says. And this is God talking. He says, "And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city?" Now listen to this. "Wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand." 60,000 people that can't tell their difference between their right hand and the left hand. I think that's talking about little children. I think that's talking about little babies. And I don't know how old. Can Evan tell the difference between his right hand and his left hand? No, not yet. So, I mean, so these were children, 2, 3, and younger, and there were 60,000 of these little children and babies in the city of Nineveh. Hey, I wonder how many children that were 5 and 6 and 7 that could tell the difference between their right and hand. I wonder how many of those children lived in Nineveh. I wonder how many teenagers lived in Nineveh. I wonder how many young adults lived in Nineveh. I wonder how many senior adults lived in Nineveh. I think it was a big, big city. There was a large number of people that lived in this city, and that's why God called it a great city. But it was a wicked city. It was a wicked city. God says in that first second verse of chapter 1, "For their wickedness has come up before me." I only know of two other cities that's said about in the Bible that I can recall, and that's Sodom and Gomorrah. Their wickedness has come up before me. Hey, I've noticed how wicked they are. And I've seen their sin. And their sin has come before me. But God, even though it was a big city, and even though it was a wicked city, it was a city that needed to turn to God. It was a city that needed to repent. It was a city that needed to turn away from their sin. And God had a plan. And that plan was to send a prophet, was to send a preacher with God's message and deliver it to that city. Now, I want to remind you tonight that God has a plan for the city of Kyle. And God has a plan for the city of Mount Morris. And God has a city for the city of Montrose and Birch Run and Flint and Detroit. And you can just go on down the line, spread it out from this circle where our church is. And you name any city as we spread out across the country and across the world. I mean, every city, God has a plan for that city. You see, God loves the whole world. Loves the whole world. And God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God wants everybody to go to heaven. And there's not a city on the face of the earth, be it a big city or a little city, a good city or a bad city, that falls outside the plan of God for the souls that live in that city. He has a plan for every single city on the face of the earth. Number one, God has a plan. Number two, we're part of that plan. We're part of that plan. Now, I just want to tell you something tonight. I don't think Jonah was a great preacher. I mean, the only thing we know about him, it was his dad's name, Amittai. We don't know anything else about his history. We don't know if he came from a family of priests. We don't know. I mean, some of the other prophets, we know they were shepherds. They were hurt. They tended trees and orchards. But we don't know anything about Jonah. And I think God did that on purpose. I think God was telling us, when he didn't tell us anything about Jonah, what he was saying is, hey, Jonah's an ordinary guy. He's just a regular guy. He's not a great scholar. He's not a great prophet. He doesn't have any extraordinary set of talents. He's just a regular person like all of us in this room tonight. And God said, Jonah, here's what I want you to do. I got a plan for the city of Nineveh. You're part of the plan. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to cry out. And here's the message that I want you to deliver to Nineveh. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was it. That was the message. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. There's no hope in that message. There's no grace in that message. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. It's a message of judgment. What Jonah was saying to everybody that lived in Nineveh, 40 days, God is going to mete out his judgment on this city. In 40 days, you're going to be punished for your sin. In 40 days, the city's going to be destroyed. In 40 days, you're finally going to have to stand before God. In 40 days, your city's going to be overthrown. Now, God could have delivered his message 100 different ways, but he chose to use Jonah. He chose to use this ordinary person to deliver that message. God has a plan for every city that's on the face of the earth today. We're part of that plan. God's plan is that every single person trust Christ. But how can they trust him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him if somebody doesn't go and tell them? Now, God could have used angels. I mean, angels in the Old Testament and New Testament, we know, delivered messages to different people. And God could have charged the angels and said, hey, I want you to go tell people about Jesus. But he didn't charge the angels. He could have written a message in the clouds. I mean, we have airplanes that can write messages in the sky. God certainly could if he chose to. But he didn't choose to do it that way. I mean, he could have took a meteorite. I mean, he inscribed in stone when he gave Moses the Ten Commandments. He could have took a space rock and inscribed the gospel message in that space rock and sent it hurling to earth. But he didn't choose to do that. What he chose to do is use us, ordinary people, with an extraordinary message. Jesus loves you. He died to pay for your sins. If you trust him, he'll take care of all your sins and make you right with God. I'm glad. I don't know about you, but I was thinking about it last night when I was finishing up this message. I'm glad that the Great Commission is in the Bible. I'm glad that Matthew 28:19-20, where it says, go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I'm glad that is in the Bible. I'm glad Mark 16:15, where the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, is in the Bible. I'm thankful that God has a plan, and I'm thankful that he's made every single one of us part of that plan. Number three, we can choose to run from God's plan. Jonah did. God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to cry out my message. And Jonah said, no way. No way. They don't deserve it. Nineveh is a wicked city. And they persecuted and killed the Jews, Jonah's race. And here's what Jonah said. He said, God, I know you. I'll go preach. They'll repent. And you'll forgive them. Now, isn't that something great to accuse God of? I know you. I'll go preach. They'll repent. And you'll forgive them. They deserve to be destroyed. They're a wicked bunch of people. Their city deserves to be overthrown. And I know exactly what will happen. They'll repent and you're so good that you won't carry out the judgment. You'll forgive them and won't do what you say you're going to do. And so Jonah says, I'm going to flee. And the Bible says that he fled to Tarshish, which, by the way, is the exact opposite direction than Nineveh. He didn't go at a 90-degree angle. He went at 180, right, Bill? 180-degree angle. Nineveh was that way, and Tarshish was that way. God told him to go that way, and he went that way. He fled from God's plan. Let me read, again, Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I want you to notice three things in that verse. Three things that Jonah gave up and got into when he fled from the presence of the Lord. And I would remind you and warn you tonight that every time we flee from God's plan, we pay the same price. First of all, it says he left the presence of the Lord. He rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And then down at the bottom of the verse, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I want to tell you, it's when we're inside of God's plan that we enjoy His presence. Amen? It's when we're inside of God's plan. It's when we're in agreement, with God's plan, that we get to enjoy His presence. And as I mentioned this morning, sometimes that plan leads through stormy seas, and that's when you get the closest to God. I mean, it's in the storms, it's in the heartaches, it's in the heartbreaks of life when you're in the plan of God that you get to know Him the best. I've told you this story before. Remember the wife and the husband sitting in the car? And the wife is over here in her seat, and the husband's over there in his seat. And she looks over and says to him, "Honey, do you remember when we first got married, when we loved each other so much, how we used to sit right up close to one another in the car?" And he looked over at her and said, "I haven't moved. I haven't moved." And I want to tell you something. God hasn't moved. He's the same as He's always been. If we've left His presence, it's because we did the leaving, not Him. We did the leaving, not Him. He's always been where he's been. When did Adam and Eve enjoy the presence of God? When they were obedient. When they were in the garden. And they left the presence of God when they got outside of God's plan. And I think the worst part of getting kicked out of the Garden of Eden was not that Eve was going to have to suffer in childbirth, that not that Adam was going to have to sweat as he grew the food that they were going to eat. The worst thing about getting kicked out of the Garden of Eden was that they couldn't enjoy the presence of God anymore. They left His presence. The Great Commission ends with a promise. "And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." But when is Jesus with us? When we're going, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We enjoy His presence in His plan. You don't enjoy His presence on the way to Tarshish. You enjoy His presence on the way to Nineveh. So when we run from God's plan, we run from His presence. Second thing I want you to notice, He went down. He went down. Now, it says Jonah rose up to go to Tarshish, but notice what it says. He went down to Joppa, and he went down into the ship. Anytime you run from the plan of God, you're not going up, you're going down. Anytime you run from the plan of God, you're leaving what's best for something less than best. You're going down. You're going down. It's trading what's best for something less. It's like trading your birthright for a pot of stew, like Esau did. You stay on God's plan, that's the best place for you to be. The best place. Not only do you have His presence, but you have the best that God wants for you. And then three, the thing I want you to notice, He paid a fare. So He paid the fare thereof. What is the fare that Jonah paid? Well, he got into a storm. A group of guys had to throw him overboard. He spent 3 days and three nights. And by the way, this is not like some people believe Jesus was in the earth 3 days and three nights between Friday night and Sunday morning. This was 3 whole days and 3 whole nights. 3 24-hour time periods that he was in the stinking belly of that fish. Now, and you know, sometimes I think we need to use our imagination. Yeah. You know when you go fishing? How's it smell, Millie? It stinks. Absolutely. So can you imagine being down in the belly of that fish with other animals, half eaten, being digested, all the seaweed that's in there, all the water, it's completely black. I mean, Jonah couldn't go over and, hey, turn the lights on in this mobile motel room. It was completely dark. He talks about it in chapter 2. It's like a roller coaster because the whale is going up and down. He doesn't have no seat belt that he can, doesn't even have a seat. He's being thrown around in the belly of this fish as it travels. He's in the stinky dark. I mean, he paid a terrible fare, 3 days, 3 nights. He describes it almost as hell. And I wonder how many stinking nights we've spent outside of God's plan, running from God's plan because we, like Jonah, think we know better than God does. You can run from God's plan, but you're going to pay the price. Number four, God always gives us another chance. Always gives us another chance. In the belly of that fish, Jonah got right. Chapter 2, verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And I think that fish was just as sick of the preacher as the preacher was the fish. Because when God said, okay, fish, let him go, there was no second thinking on the fish's part. He got to land as soon as he could, and he vomited out Jonah on dry land. Good riddance, bud. I'm glad you're gone. It was much an indigestion to the fish as it was trouble for Jonah to be in the belly of that fish. And I think Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, is one of the sweetest verses in the Bible, especially for Christians that get out of God's plan. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. God came back to Jonah and said, Jonah, there's still a city called Nineveh. I still got a plan for that city, and I still want to use you as part of that plan. And I'm glad God doesn't give up on us every time we run outside of His plan. I'm glad He comes back the second time. I'm glad He comes back the third time. I'm glad He comes back the fourth time. How many times will He come back? Well, when Peter asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive him? 7 times? He said, no, 7 times 70. I tell you what, I think I've used up my 490 and God's still giving me another chance. He keeps coming back and gives us another chance to use us. And then number five, I want you to notice this. The gospel works. The message of God works. God called. Jonah finally went. He delivered God's message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Chapter 3, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. The whole city got right with God. I mean, the king even passed a decree. He said, look, we're all going to repent. We're all going to show God that we're sorry for our sins. And that's one of the ways that you did that, was you put sackcloth on. He says, I want to put sackcloth on all the animals too. Let's show God that we really mean business. Let's show God that we really are sorry for our sin. And the whole city, from the king to the lowest pauper that lived in Nineveh, repented of their sin and got right with God. And then in verse 10, and God saw their works, verse 10 chapter 3, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. Now, God says in the Bible that every single person that rejects Christ is going to go to hell. But He also gives us a way out. And that way out is Jesus. And you know what? That still works. I mean, Jesus did everything that He needed to do almost 2,000 years ago. And what He did still works. What He did hasn't lost its power. What He did is still good in the eyes of God. It still gives us our forgiveness and our salvation from our sins. It still works and will work until Jesus comes back. It will work. So God has a plan. We're part of it. We're part of it. Bill, you have just as much what I did yesterday and what Herb did yesterday, because you were in there working on that room, as going out with us. That's right. It's all part of God's plan. And He can use every single one of us. Let's pray. Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for this simple message that reminds us of some blessed truth. And I pray tonight that you would help us realize that we all have a part in your plan, that we all have a place that you need us to serve, and that we're important to you. And I pray, Father, that as we realize that, we'd be more faithful to do what we can do. I remember reading the story of David and the 600 men that went with him, and 200 of them got tired and had to stay by the stuff. But when the 400 won a great victory, the spoils were shared with all of them because they all had a part in that victory. And so I pray tonight that every single one of us would realize that we have a part in your plan, an important part, and that you need for us to do it. And I pray that you would use every single one of us in a way that would bring honor and glory to our Savior. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit tonight. If there's somebody here that needs to, that's never received Christ, I pray tonight would be the night they decide to receive Jesus. Speak to Christians. If there's somebody here tonight that's running from your plan, I pray, Father, that you'd help them get back to what they need to do and do it for you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.